Welcome to the Simon Parkes Connecting Consciousness Show on Wolf Spirit Radio. Simon actively encourages you to post your questions live to him in the chat room at wolfspiritradio.com/listen. When you ask a question in the chat room, please make sure that you've logged into the Chat and Go. That's the set name at the bottom. That you have a nickname, and that you ask one question in all caps. That makes it easiest for us to collate. Thank you. The next 2 hours will be full of debate, interview guests, and up-to-date news. Please join Simon and play an active role. Connecting Consciousness Show. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
Yes, indeed. Good afternoon, Simon. Would you like to move a little closer to the microphone? I think, have you got a headset on?
No, it should be fine. I don't know why you can't hear me so well. How's that?
All right. It's a little distant than normal. But anyway, we can still hear you, so that's good. Let me just check. So, good afternoon, Simon. How are you doing?
I'm very well. That was an interesting intro. It seemed to be going very fast.
Really? Yeah. That may be a Skype artifact. Sometimes Skype delays and then shoves it all in. It was from this end. It was the same length as normal.
That was quite exciting. Well, it's lovely to be back and have a chat with you and with the listeners. And it is actually a really lovely sunny day here. It's been cold and miserable for the last few days, so that's quite nice to be sitting here and doing the radio show with the sunshine coming through the window. So just want to bring people up to date with a little bit. It was, in fact, a very good friend of mine who opened a topic regarding Venezuela in South America, and I reminded the person that I had actually mentioned a few months back now on the radio show that this was something that we needed to keep an eye on. And apparently it's not, again, of course, being shown on the established media, but they've now gone into raiding supermarkets, looting in the streets. There's a combination of oil prices, that Venezuela is tied to the US dollar, its indebtedness is attached to the dollar, and very few exporters from other countries now are wanting to export anything to Venezuela because they fear that they won't be paid for it. Now, there are about 3 South American countries that are just teetering on the edge. We know Canada was on the edge, but the oil price rose up a little bit, and that's pushed Canada back. But Venezuela is in a very difficult state, and if you can search for the alternative media, you will find people have posted 15 or 20 second clips from their video phones showing what the situation is. And it's, although it's very typical, it is still absolutely disgusting that the established paid for media are refusing point blank to try and give it any sort of coverage, because to do so would be to begin to explain to people that the economic situation worldwide is fast deteriorating. And so they're doing everything they can not to cover it, and it's absolutely ridiculous. And I remember 3 years ago, 100,000 people turned up to the central square in Jerusalem, Jewish people predominantly, to demonstrate against war. Now, no established media really gave that any coverage, and the only reason we know about that was because some very brave people sort of filmed it, videoed it on their phones, and then put it up. And as fast as the so right across the globe, things are happening which are not being reported at all, and the ordinary, decent, everyday people who are not awake, I'm afraid, they're not particularly spiritual, they have the potential to be, but they're not yet there. Of course, they're not getting all of this. They're not seeing that. They're just seeing the usual nonsense that's being portrayed out. So Venezuela is very much on the edge now. So I want people to try and research that and have a look and understand what is going on there. because if the South American countries begin to implode, then that is a very good indicator for the situation to move further north into traditional North America. So depending on what occurs, I mean, some South American countries have already devalued their currency, and that will give us an idea and a flavour of what might be happening to the Western world. So that's worth watching. In terms of meetings or connections that the elite might be having, everything's on hold at the moment. They really are biding time. We've always said that the summer period is the calm. It's towards the fall. So from September onwards, we've got the presidential election, I think, in November, haven't we? And Donald Trump now is the Republican candidate. And, you know, I've been saying for some time, and so have other people, that actually, you know, when some months ago people were joking about Trump and saying, you know, it was just a joke person, he would never get anywhere. And I and others had said, well, no, you know, you need to understand what's going on here. He's been placed in that position, and he's going to use his media connections without dipping into his money. And that's by and large what happened with Trump. He didn't have to use a lot of his money in the early stages. So, you know, Trump is on course to be a president if by September or October something is done to discredit Hillary Clinton. As it stands at the moment, Clinton would probably win. That's my judgment. But I think that something is going to be manufactured to really put her in a bad light. So let's just watch that one and see. In Great Britain, because I'm always talking about America, in Great Britain, the Prime Minister Cameron is now coming out and saying that the ex-mayor of London, who's called Boris Johnson, might well be the next Prime Minister of Great Britain, which he doesn't want. And again, I and several others have been saying that Boris Johnson was the leader in waiting. And for the British market, what I will say is, if we get an economic collapse in Great Britain sometime in September or October of this year, then we may well have a Labour Prime Minister. But if there isn't a collapse, or the collapse is managed, then we may well see Boris Johnson as the next Prime Minister. So there's a great deal of... it's like a... I don't know if the American people know what musical chairs is. It's where you put a load of chairs out and you play music, and then you have one less chair than there are people running around them. So there's always somebody who can't sit down. Well, that's what's being played at the moment. The resources are less than the individuals. And they're all bidding or fighting for something. So... it appears quiet. When you talk to people, they say, oh, it's very quiet, or the energies have gone quiet. That's true, but they're plotting. So at the moment, these guys are plotting. That's why we're not picking anything up on the waves. So that's just really just to bring people up to date, JP.
It's like one of those... I remember when my little stepdaughter, when she was always singing to herself, but when she went quiet, that's when we really started to worry, because she was up to something.
That's a really good analogy, yes.
So, interesting. So, yeah, Boris Johnson was, of course, the another contender for the leadership roles, because that's what he was bred for, the Eton, Oxford, Bullingdon Club path to British power, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, my uncle, who I don't see... maybe dead now, but my uncle went to Eton and then Oxford, and then he liked Oxford so much that my uncle became a Don, an Oxford Don. And it reminds me of a chap who my good friend Wynne told me, he lent me a book and I haven't yet got around to read it, but it was a guy who wanted to open a bank, and he went round to all the appropriate places, and one fella said to him, oh, goodness me, no, you can't open a bank. You've not been to Oxford or Cambridge. So Oxford and Cambridge are still the elite places that they were 100 years ago. And until this system changes, decent, ordinary people with good or great ideas are never able to get on and do what they should be able to do because the system prevents them, because it can't control them. And that's where we are with this. At the moment, the energies on the planet are in balance. You know, the old system whereby you can only receive power if we know that you're a safe pair of hands, safe in terms of you'll do what we tell you. And that's why, you know, I could never be Prime Minister, because I wouldn't do what the elite wanted me to do. You know, it's just the way it is on this planet, but that is changing. The last 10 years have seen some tremendous changes for the good. So I'm still positive, but I'm appreciative of the fact that we are going through a turbulent patch. Shall we have some questions then, JP?
Okay, right, here we go. This is from, make sure that, because today the volume seems a bit low, but anyway, I'll just crank it up a bit.
Summer holiday.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe your sound system's on holiday. We'll have a little chat later on, maybe, to get your, because you're going to be much lower than all the rest of the boys, the rest of my esteemed guests. So we'll have a look, maybe in the break we'll adjust your voice.
Do you mean I'm on the ground floor?
Worse, you're kind of almost in the basement. I've got all my faders all up to the top edge here. Anyhow,
well, I'm hear that. Carry on.
Yeah. Okay. So, Yvonne Hulin asks, "Good morning, and please, if you have any information on the orbs that make some of the crop circles in England's West Country and their reasons for doing so, much appreciated, Yvonne Hulin."
That's a really good question. When we talk about orbs, we need to understand that the orbs that visit us, and there are lots of really good, genuine photographs that people have taken. These are orbs that are see-through. Those are not mechanical or electronic. That is an energy presence. But the orbs that create the crop circles, they are mechanical. They are obviously like reconnaissance drones. They are good devices. They're coming from an organization that is positive to humanity. The object of crop circles, and of course my good friend Wynne Keach could talk long and eloquently on this subject, but in a nutshell, is communication. To communicate not just a set of coordinates or information in terms of elements to construct or build, but in terms of creating the future. So a crop circle can be formed and read by certain people on the planet, which then gives those individuals a clear idea of what the next phase might be, or they would then need to communicate back to that benevolent entity to say that message received, and then pose another question. And even crop circle people might be surprised to learn that a group of scientists have actually been in communication with off-planet entities and have communicated via crop circles. Now, the begs the question, well, why would you communicate via crop circles when there are entities on the planet who, you know, have meetings and talk? And if you think of a crop circle as a, as we would say in Britain, as a blackboard, but as the Americans would say, a chalkboard, it is where you draw out formulae and your expression of mathematical values, and then somebody else looks at that and says, well, no, that's wrong, and rubs it out and redoes it. That's what crop circles are. They are, or have been, a two-way communication system between a group of people on this planet. The difficulty is that an organization called Team Satan, I'll just say that again because it's so bizarre, you'd think I'd said it wrong. Team Satan, and I've actually met the father and son of Team Satan, and they have actually told me face to face that they wait for the negative entities to arrive. The negative entities then draw out fake crop circles, and then Team Satan goes and marks out these fake crop circles. And Wing Keech, if he were here, would talk about how these entities arrive onto the ground. But I think the important point here is that negative or fake crop circles are created to draw spiritual people into them, who then touch the ears of corn and receive an energy charge which is designed to disrupt their aura, to disrupt their ability to be spiritual. So when we talk about a war going on this planet, it really is the case. It's not tanks and bombs and bullets, but it's about a war of energies that take place. And just for the record, Adolf Hitler created the runic flash for the SS, which was the two flashes that SS troops would wear on their collars. And interestingly enough, when the shadow entities arrive to make a fake crop circle, there is one flash, lightning flash, and a second lightning flash, and that creates a portal. And then these entities can enter through the portal. So this flash was exactly because Hitler saw this arriving and created his SS from that. So there's a great deal more we could talk about it, but we don't want to hog the show. So I hope that's a good answer for the questioner.
Excellent. So this next question comes from Ashley. Simon, do you know of any technology that could create a null field in which nothing inside of it can be heard from the outside? Something that could hide the sound of a bomb, making its destruction look like an act of God. Could there be other types of this technology to contain things such as radiation? Sounds useful.
Right. I'm aware of a version of this that is used to... This is going to be a very, very 3D thing, but to soundproof a room. I'm aware of a device that runs on similar technology that allows people to communicate, and nobody from the outside, no matter what technology they've got, is capable of penetrating that. There's also a device which, if a, let's say a nuclear device was to explode, then it's like a bubble can be placed around it to freeze that from expanding any further. But unfortunately, I don't think that's a permanent thing, and it doesn't hold it in forever. So there are elements that I'm aware of, and to my knowledge, the fourth dimension doesn't have it, but the fifth and sixth dimension does. So I hope that's a good answer for you.
Okay, so the next question. All right, here we go. From Mimi Black. Are we living in God's eye, or is Earth at least shaped like an eye, and we live on top, on the lens, or the pupil area? Anu mythologically existed as a dome over the Earth. Could it be the dome is like the anterior chamber of the eye, the shape fits all models, round, flat, oblate, spheroid, etc.?
I can't really answer that. I really don't know. I haven't considered it. I could say... I'm not going to dismiss the question, because I never dismiss any question that's seriously asked. What I would say is that the Eye of Horus played a very important role, not just in the Egyptian times, but the symbology of it has been before and after. So the eye has played a role that has captivated certain occultists. Now, when we look at the universe, and we look at the way planets are structured, they are sort of like a bulging circle, they're ovoid, but I can't really go any further in terms of whether that is an eye or not.
Okay, so from Lorne, yes, oh, this is an interesting question. At what point does an average citizen searching for the truth become a targeted individual? What types of psychic attacks are mostly commonly used on these people?
Well, what a smashing question. Thank you for that.
Indeed. You know, what makes a person a TI? What makes a person a POI, person of interest? You know, what are the criteria that the Secret Services look for?
Right. That's a really, really helpful question. Nobody's asked me that before. So that's a first.
Right then.
Right, here we go. Whatever jobs we do on the earth, they are important. And if you were a nurse, that's a really, really important job. I think so, and everybody listening to our radio show would think so too. But if that nurse, he or she, suddenly wakes up one morning and becomes totally spiritual, the elite are not at all going to be bothered about a nurse in a hospital who is now spiritually awake. Unless the soul in that physical body is of great lineage. Unless that person, unbeknown to them, has been involved in my lab situations, and unless that person has a physical eliteness through genetics that they're unaware of. So when an individual becomes spiritual and starts to change his or her daily life and the way they do things, it only makes them a targeted individual if they can influence others, if they can bring energies to bear, and if they are seen as being a traitor to their own kind. That's what makes it. So the obvious one is someone who's a spy. Well, obviously, if someone's in the intelligence agency and suddenly wakes up and becomes spiritual, they obviously will be targeted. Well, that's one extreme. But often people say to me, well, I'm an ordinary person. Why am I being, gang-stalked? Or why is this happening and why is that happening? And after about 5 minutes of questioning from me, it transpires that they have a very, very special connection which they totally hasn't put two and two together. So, if a person feels that and they just can't work it out, well, they have a chat with me and, I'll be able to, identify where it's coming from and give them some very useful tips to stop it. So that actually doesn't just come from intelligence services, it comes from the satanic group. There is a very, unfortunately, very strong black magic organization in the Western world who will go for anybody who has the potential or starts to bring change to the planet. So it's a really, really good question, and there are lots of people waking up. There are lots of people in positions of responsibility who are now questioning it, and these bad guys have got their hands full trying to decide who, because their resources are stretched to the limit now. They only have so many black helicopters, they only have so many black limousines, and they really are now having to look at, well, who do we let go and who do we chase after? So if anybody is being targeted or followed, potentially my lab, if they get in touch with me, and then I'll do what I can to help them. So a very good question. Thank you for that.
All right. So there's a couple of questions that are coming in about questioning, right? So the way I answer the questions is I go to our website. Now, people have been throwing questions all the week, and it's vast. It's huge. So what I do is I start with questions that started today with today's date on them, and I'll look through them, and I'll go backwards through their list. That means the first ones that get posted are the first ones that get asked. And if I come to the end, and there's no more questions, then I'll go back and then start asking questions that were posed before today. So that's the way I do it. I don't know how long it's going to take, and I don't know whether I'm going to go through the end of the list. And the more people come in and ask more questions, then that list gets longer. So that's the way it works. I've no idea if it's completely fair or not. That's as fair as I can get it. Start today at the beginning of the show. So, Simon. Having said that, CC from Germany says, Hi Simon, what are your means to counteract the frequent interruptions and interference of your network connections? Do you need any support? Best regards from CC Germany. Oh, so I think right. He's asking you about your broadband, actually.
No, he's not. I had yesterday, Skype with my Connecting Consciousness coordinator and 10 members. See. Of Connected Consciousness from Germany, and I try to do this. America is so vast that I have my overall US coordinator and then five or six state coordinators, and I try and get round as I can. Now, what happened with Germany was that I was obviously being asked specific questions relating to Germany, and I was answering those, and then we got the plug pulled on us. So what happened then was that the coordinator from Germany phoned me on my mobile and said, look, you know, it's obviously they don't want my group to hear what you've got to say. I'll stick this on speakerphone and then you can carry on answering it. And we did, and the phone got turned off. They pull that as well. So what I say is I cannot stop the elite through British Telecom or whoever else it is pulling the plug on my communications. I can't stop that. But there is a huge amount of interruptions. I actually got, this will make you laugh, JP. I don't get scared or frightened or worried by anybody. I got a phone call 3 days ago from somebody who sounded like a marketing call. I get so many marketing calls. And he said, is this, you know, Simon? Yes. And do you live at blah, blah, blah? Yes. And are you over 20 years of age? Yes. And do you still have the hot point washing machine? Yes.
Hot point.
Okay. Thank you. And that's it. What they were doing was saying, we know everything about you. We even know what make, of washing machine you have. So, you know, I say to my clients or people who listen to me, you've got to appreciate that the information that I have, some people really don't like me giving out. And I could do a radio show for 3 hours and never get cut off. And then I could talk about a particular topic or a particular subject, or somebody could ask me a question, which these boys somewhere up in an ivory tower somewhere, probably Menwith Hill, really don't like. And then for a few minutes or whatever, then I'll have that cut off. So there isn't a great deal I can do. And what I would say is, if my communications were never interfered with, then we would have to ask ourselves why, because clearly they wanted me to speak about what I was saying, or clearly I was running on an agenda they wanted. The very fact that I'm consistently interrupted and consistently having the plug pulled means that I'm a thorn in somebody's side. So thank you for that. And it is a good question, and you know, this happens, and that's why people are members of Connecting Consciousness, because we are, you know, taking a battle, proverbial battle, to these people. Thanks.
Excellent. So here's another one from your Germany crew, from Michael and Jim at Germany. Hi, Simon. Can you tell us about Nelson Mandela's funeral and Marduk's attendance there?
Well, people will have perhaps remembered I was one of the first, not the first, but one of the first. David Icke was one of the first as well, to talk about the connection between some black African tribes and a very strong detachment of warlike reptilians. And there is a strong bond that exists between some groups in South Africa and Zimbabwe, as it is now. And often when there are ceremonies of some sort or other, then individuals on behalf of another organization or other things will attend. Sometimes when presidents are giving inaugural speeches, there's some very interesting audience members. So, you know, it's always nice, actually, when the camera doesn't just stay on the podium, but actually goes around the audience. When I give talks, and I've got one coming up in Britain very soon now, you know, I always look at the audience, because there's always usually somebody there who stands out like a mile. So it's a good question. I'm not going to go into too much detail, though, because this could be quite difficult.
Indeed, yes. That was quite, that's quite an, quite a show that was, wasn't it? Mm. Yeah. Right, okay. Here's from Dan Farmer. Simon, if the elite worship Anu above all, and you are his son and have part of his soul in you, are there any elite who worship you just for being his son? You were given a tour of a secret space radar base and you received much protection, but shouldn't the respect you receive extend past that?
That's a really good question. It's an intelligent question. Thank you for that. The word worship doesn't work. The word intrigued works. I did a presentation at a Masonic temple. I've done three at Masonic temples. They seem to like me to go and do a talk. And I thought, well, it would be very appropriate to talk about King Solomon while I was in a Masonic temple. And I did a talk on that. And then afterwards, I went and, you know, had dinner with some of the people. And the guy who was filming the talk was a Mason. And unfortunately, during the meal, he wouldn't let up asking me questions to the point that it was actually rude. You know, you're out there, you know, you should be having a downtime, a relaxed time. And he's just firing one question after another. Anyway, a few days later, I said to his girlfriend, you know, it was a bit rough that, because, you know, I've had enough of it. I've done 2 hours. Well, actually, I've done 4 hours. And the reply was, oh, well, he's just fascinated with you. So the word worship, I don't like. Fascinated is the right word. And remember, people who have looked back at my talks regarding the Marlborough conference I did, when somebody came up to me and offered me protection. And although he didn't say he represented the Knights Templars, it's my belief that that's the organization he represented. So there are people out there who say, yes, we understand and accept exactly what's inside that physical body of yours. And, you know, they will then take a view whether they are supportive of that or not. The reason that it causes problems is that I have chosen a path for the benefit of humanity. And if you are a satanic force, you couldn't understand that. You would say, how can this physical body contain an element of something that they supposed to bow down to, and yet this representation of it in a physical body is supportive of humanity? And this is the part that they just cannot get their head around. You know, I'm looked on as a traitor or as a fool or, you know, whatever it might be. So depending on your person's organization and depending on the sort of person they are, that dictates how they respond to me. The British military, just like the United States military, is split. Not down the middle anymore. It's quite good. I would say that 65% of the military now are beneficial to humanity. There's been a clearing out of some of these evil people. But the questioner is right. I would never ever have got look over the most sensitive base in Great Britain, and potentially one of the most sensitive bases in the whole world, unless somebody in a very high-ranking position within the military complex, wasn't being supportive. And the other thing that I haven't really mentioned, it's quite unique, except for Wynne has had a very similar thing. I did a talk, and I'd basically said, I can't even remember what I said now, but it was about 3 years ago, and it was about 6:30 in the morning. And he's walking along the seafront where I live. And there were about, on a mile, half a mile stretch of sand, maybe 3 or 4 people at that time in the morning, all walking dogs. Now, people may not know what the Red Arrows are, but the Red Arrows are an aerobatic display team. And they've been going in Great Britain since about 1968 or 65. And at 6:30 in the morning, they flew right over this stretch of beach. There's about, say 5 people, including myself. And then they released their coloured smoke, and it went right over my head. Now, somebody then went and contacted the local newspaper and said, well, what's going on? There's no, you know, we haven't booked the Red Arrows, what's going on? And the reply came back, they got to the RAF, and the reply was, oh, well, no, the Red Arrows were flying on their way to some display somewhere, and they thought they would just let their smoke off over that beach. Well, that just doesn't happen, because these things have to be paid for, they have to be, you know, checked through and contracted through. Now, what's odd is that Wynne had something similar happen to him. And I think what I'm saying here is that one arm of the military tries to show support, it tries to show encouragement, it tries to say you're on the right path, don't give up, keep going. And there's another aspect, which is, well, we hate you, we want you to stop, and we'll do everything in our power, short of killing you, to try and stop you. And so I find myself, as there are other people, I'm not the only one like this, but I find myself in the middle. You know, and I'm not going to break down and burst into tears. I'm not going to be intimidated. You know, that's not the person I am. And that, no, they know that. That's why that doesn't work. So, yeah, they'll pull the plug. I'll get my computer hacked. You know, we'll do all of these incredibly small, petty things which do affect my life. They affect my ability to pass the message on. And that is why, in my humble estimation, people like Dr. Stephen Greer and David Icke made a big mistake when they started to invest in infrastructure, televisions, radios, cameras, because they wanted to change the system, but the system is designed to protect itself. So poor David Icke, in the end, actually was physically thrown out of his own radio studio. Can you believe that? His own TV.
Unbelievable. And you see, I've recognized the idea, because, and I was talking to my girlfriend earlier, you know, as soon as you try to organize something, you have to then fit in with the Babylonian organization, which is inherently corrupt, and inherently you will be corrupted by it, because they'll bring in their own people and then infest your organization. And it happens every time. So I like it small and guerrilla-like, in a way. This, you know, War Spirit, it's independent. We don't get, we're not sponsored by people. We don't have to do particular topics or avoid anything. So, you know, we can talk about most things. And like, you know, when we have our conversations and we get cut off when we talk about, you know, Israel or, you know, the other things that get cut off, and, you know they're listening. We say, hello, how are you doing? I hope you're going to evolve soon, kind of thing. Anyhow, that's where we're all at, Simon. It's great.
Yeah, I think that's the point. And when I created Connecting Consciousness, I didn't go down the road of a physical infrastructure. There are no accountants, there are no bank managers. I just connected with ordinary people and the goodwill of people. Now, that can't be taken down. You have material things, but you have control of it. You don't have shareholders. You don't have an accountant. That's how you've maintained it. Now, I created a nearly global-wide organization which doesn't have a single office. There's no accountants telling me this, that, and the other. So I learned from people like David Icke and from Dr. Stephen Greer, who created things which were destroyed because the system recognized that they were trying to change the system, and it turned on them. Because I am making an organization just with the goodwill of people and the spirituality that people have, that cannot be destroyed. So you're right. If you're going to create a studio, then you need to ensure that you have the control of it. So JP, you know, thank God there are people like you, because otherwise we couldn't compete and get the truth out with all this blanket nonsense that the establishment put out. Anyway, I suppose we better have another question, haven't we?
True, yeah. The word for me was holographic organization, which is like everybody knows what happens and what we're supposed to be doing, so then that doesn't need to be a leader. You just have an idea and everybody just follows the idea. And the idea is what everybody wants. Anyway, so George Bluth. Simon Parks, you have stated that Stanley Kubrick filmed the Apollo landing, and also you have great respect for Buzz Aldrin. There's a video of Buzz punching a man in the face for asking him to swear on the Bible that he did indeed set foot on the moon. What is it that you said so much respect? What is it that you so much respect about him? Yeah, he was really annoyed. You know, anybody would be bugged enough by people like that. You know. Anyway, please.
During the last Labour government, there was a deputy prime minister who was asked a very intrusive question. This is in Britain, Great Britain, by a member of the press, and the deputy prime minister punched the newsman in the face. So that's it. The question is an interesting question, and I will definitely answer it, and I will answer it in the spirit to which the question has been placed. When astronauts are approached by the elite and told that they have a dual role, that they are going to the moon, but not in the way that the public perceive it, and that they have to lie to the public and not tell them the truth, the emotional stress that that places on individuals is unbelievable. You think, if you are an astronaut and the world believes that at a set time in a set place you went to the moon, and then you are asked to a school and to stand up in front of 1,000 students and talk about how you walked on the moon, and then you have one television show after another, and then there's a gala, and then there's a raffle, and then there's a jamboree, and there are those people whose conscience just cannot cope with that. So when somebody goes up to someone and says, swear on the Bible you went to the moon, that person, if they're a religious person, and Mr. Aldrin was very strongly believing in God, he couldn't put his hand on the Bible and swear that, because that would have profaned his own belief in God. So the only thing he could do was knock this person to the ground. I'm not condoning that, but I'm trying to explain that Aldrin was one of the very few astronauts who said there are aliens out there. He is one of the few astronauts prepared to do a Skype with me. I did a Skype with Buzz Aldrin, and we talked for over an hour. And yeah, I have a great, I had, obviously passed on, but I had a very great respect for the man, because he was prepared to say to the elite, I'm not frightened of you anymore in that sense of the word, and I am going to start speaking the truth. The problem is that if these people do become very outspoken, it's not just them that are found floating in a river, but it's their families. Because the threat always is, we won't just kill you, we'll kill your family. Remember those people who have listened to my early videos, where my own mother was told that if, you know, she ever went public over what she was doing, she would be found, and I quote, found on a railroad line, and then who's going to look after your son? So they always, these people, threaten you and your family. So what a brave man he was to actually go on time and time again and begin to do more than hint and begin to lead people towards the light in terms of the light of truth by saying, actually, it was a complete con, and you know, there are aliens out there, your government knows about it, but I've got my hands tied. So that's why I respected him. I respected him because he didn't just take the millions of dollars and the fame and just sit down. He had a conscience. And I'm amazed that he didn't knock more people to the ground, frankly. So I hope that's a good answer.
There's a lot of punching out going on. So, now, very segueing nicely into... Simon, do you receive any protection or immunity from specific types of danger if you have a Freemason in the family? What about once this person has passed on? So I think this is a generic question rather than specific to you, although you had a Freemason in your family. So do people receive any protection or immunity, etc.? You got it?
Yes, they do. If you are a Freemason, and this is in Great Britain, I can't speak outside of Great Britain, and obviously this would be denied vigorously. But if you're a Freemason and you exceed the speed limit and you receive a fine and penalty points, you can go to somebody to have that taken off. Freemasonry protect you from small issues like that. So I have a friend. I have a friend who is a lord, and he was, I'm not going to say his name, poor chap, but he was exceeding the speed limit, and he was stopped by an undercover police car, and the policeman got out and said, you know, details, etc. When he saw his driving license, this police officer said to him, and I quote, "I'm sorry to have troubled you, my lord," brought back in his car, and off he went. So the elite have protection. Now, in terms of bigger issues, yes, they do, providing that they are an asset to that organization. But the organization wants those individuals because it wants either what's in their head or what they can potentially do for that organization. So if you are you work in a local council and you cut the grass in the local council and you're a Freemason, and of course you could be, well, they're not really going to do a huge amount for you. But if you were a senior police officer and you were investigating a number of child murder cases, and then the media started to ask lots of questions, well, you could expect that organisation to pull quite a few strings for you. Let me develop the question because I understand what this person is asking. If you have had a Freemason in the family who is dead, their family still can call on the support, even though they're not aware of it. So as long as that Freemason was highly regarded by his or her, there are some women, remember, but it's mostly men, in that lodge, then basically the family will get some form of protection, unless some of the individuals begin to start asking lots of questions. So the answer is yes.
Interesting. So, this is from Max Jespert. Simon. Hi, Simon. Sorry for my length of question, but I cannot pass over any details. A few weeks ago, I went into my second experience of sleep paralysis of my life. At 4:17, I felt like if my Great Dane just jumped on the middle of my bed, which he never does. I sat down very fast to see him, but there was nothing. I felt something push me back on the bed, and here I was, trapped into my own body. For about 15 to 20 seconds, I could not move. I did not see anything or anyone around me, but there was a huge sound in my ears, like a motor or a generator. I was not afraid, but very concerned about not having control of my body. When it stopped, I had two flashes in my head. The first was a human skull, and the second, the face of an alien mixed with human. Hard to describe. The next morning, I had a bruise under my left arm that looks like three small fingers. Do you have anything to say about that scene? Thanks to both of you, Max.
What a lot of interesting points in one question. Right, let's start generally and then we'll go specifically. Sleep paralysis can either be a medical condition, but you know what? I'm not really interested in that because I think that's what the doctors say just to cover it so they don't have to delve into the truth. Two sorts of sleep paralysis I'm aware of like that. The first is when a grey alien enters the bedroom or wherever you might be and goes through your mind and gives you the impression in your head that you can't move. Actually, you can move, but you are convinced to believe that you can't. And the reason for this is because you could actually physically harm the alien. And the last thing they want is you running around the house screaming and shouting or flailing your arms about and you know, bringing harm to them. So the reason that they do the sleep paralysis, particularly to children, is to keep them quiet so that they can't go and raise the alarm. The questioner didn't talk about screaming or speaking, but many people are incapable of screaming or shouting, calling for help, because they are frozen. The second form of paralysis, and this is interesting, the questioner referred to their dog. Although people do not see anything, there appears to be a weight that sits on the bed. This is predominantly a reptilian entity that is coming through from the fourth dimension and is just out of phase and uses psychic energy to create a field, so that when it sits on the bed, it is the field of its consciousness that sits on the bed, and it's designed to frighten the target. So all of that is designed to put fear into the person. Now then, I think I'm probably on record as saying maybe as much as 80-odd% of all abductions through my labs are not alien. They are human pretending to be alien. But there are still a small percentage that are genuinely alien or combination of alien and human. But the vast majority are humans giving screen images to the person believing they've been abducted by aliens. Now what's interesting here is the person's talking about three bruises as finger marks. And what I say to people is please take photographs of them and let me see that. Because depending on the size of the finger, the shape of the finger, I can tell you immediately whether that's an alien grey, and normally it's grey, what type of grey, or if it's human. So it is a MyLab situation that the person has. The next questions are you aware of any helicopters? And that would usually be because the person has great psychic ability or the potential to be psychic. Remember with my labs, the whole point about it is to get you, transport you into the fourth dimension so that you can start to do things for the elite, things they can't do for themselves. Many psychic people say, well, you know, I can't do anything. I can't bend a spoon. I can't do this. And I said, well, yes, you can, but you just don't believe that you can. Think of Neo in the Matrix. There is no spoon. When you begin to understand that you can change reality, you can change it. Now, when you're taken in these MyLab situations and you're placed out of phase or in the fourth dimension, then there is no three-dimensional constraint on you, and so you're naturally capable of doing all the things that you can do. So it's a really good question. I'm sorry I haven't got more time. If you would like to book a session with me, then I'd be delighted to give you more personal information.
Can you tell people where to go to book sessions with you? Because I tell you, Simon, I'm still getting emails. How do I book a session with Simon? I can't go there. Right. So could you just say over and over again until people get it, how to actually contact you and get a session?
Right, well, we are doing that now. I mean, I'm back on working doing the session. So you have to email me at simon.parks, P-A-R-K-E-S, 3, so that's the numeral 3, not Roman numeral, just the ordinary Arabic 3, simon.parks3@btopenworld.com. And so now that I am getting through them, they are being booked in, so you will get a booking.
Okay, so Paul is saying, what Simon is saying I am actually doing. Oh, that's interesting, good. Right, from CC Germany. Hi Simon, what are the reasons What are the reasons for picking a specific soul family and dimensions as your first incarnation when leaving Source? Is there a reason? With love from CC Germany.
What a lovely question. You see, this is the point. People who are in the Connecting Consciousness group are thinking and trying to push the boundaries as far as they can, and that's I've never been asked that question before. That's brilliant. Right, this is a unique and private connection between Source and what has been created. That individual, that person, we'll call them a person, though they're not in the physical body, is given, this is the best way I can describe it, is given all the information they need to choose what represents what they are. So whatever they are, they will choose that is the closest to their choice of what they are. So they have everything flashed in front of them, every choice, whether they want to be reptilian, palladian, human, whatever it is, and they will choose that which matches their need. And they will then go and they will incarnate in the physical body or non-physical body, if it's an energy force or form, and they will exist. But they may become, either grow tired or they may evolve, which requires them to either move up the ladder or to decide to come down to planet Earth or somewhere else because they wish to experience in elements that they do not. If you are, for instance, seventh dimensional, so you are sitting partly between an organic body and an energy body, and you begin to feel that you wish to be challenged and you wish to learn what physical world is, then you might come down to the fifth dimension. And then you might say, I'm becoming aware of what's going on in that third dimension down there, and it's absolutely horrendous that all these poor people are being oppressed. I must be able to do something about this. And so the need becomes so strong that that individual then comes down onto planet Earth. Very good question.
Okay, I've just got a little bit of interference there, I think, but we'll see what happens. Right, okay. It's top of the hour, Simon, so let's put a tune on for...
I'm beginning to lose you, JP. You're beginning to break up.
Exactly, so we're going to take a break, Simon, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Tea break time.
On with the kettle. There we go. Sorry about that. There's a little bit of my Muzak. Actually, I called that one Spies from Aldebaran.
That's good.
Anyway, welcome back to Connecting Consciousness with Simon Parks. And we had our little disconnection moment there at the top of the hour, but I think, you know, we're through it, and hopefully the rest of the show will be smooth and plain sailing, just like a nice sunny day on the Murray Firth. More questions from CC Germany. Okay, so this is here's the thing. This is an interesting question. Very interesting. Hi, Simon. Do you see a problem in drinking 1 to 2 beers in the evening? And what happens if we die drunk? That's a really good question. What happens if we die in a weird state?
What a wonderful question. I wonder if the person's in a beer keller when they.
Anyway.
Well, right. What you need to understand is that the physical body can be affected through alcoholism or drugs, but the soul does not. So it makes absolutely no difference at all. In other words, if the physical body is impaired, the soul is not. So no, it makes no difference at all.
Okay, next question. More from CC German. There's the whole. I think I'm asking them all because, like, I think CC German is like representative of a bunch of questions that were asked, probably on a Facebook page and then dropped into the question box. Very good. So, hi Simon. The Mantids offered you to be like them, to see the future and to know the past. Regarding timelines, what exactly do you see when you see the future? And do you see multiple timelines at a time, or maybe only the most likely or the current timeline? With love from CC.
That's a good question. They weren't offering me a crystal ball. They weren't offering me the opportunity to, sit there and see this, that and the other in this reality. What they were offering was a clear vision as to how humanity potentially could evolve and what could happen to derail that. So timelines could be the great big timeline of whether humanity survives or not. But there are other timelines, issues that run parallel to that in terms of, when is the cure for cancer going to be made public? When will it rain in California? So there are a whole range of those, and what I'm privy to are the enemy's plans, the enemy's vision for its future, and also what humanity's vision could be, and then, along with others, to try to aim for that vision which is supportive of humanity. So what I became involved with was the manipulation of future reality and understood that this isn't the first time we've been here. In other words, humans have always wanted to be free. Humans have always, you know, regardless of what people say, the majority of people are good. And so therefore they want good things to happen, but they've always been tricked. That's the problem with humanity. It's so trusting, it's naive. You know, they can't believe that the people who have been elected to lead them are actually bad people. They can't believe they would hurt them.
They can't believe that they were even elected.
No. So they don't understand, and they can be tricked. And this is not the first time we've been at this position, but this is the first time humanity has got this far. We've never got this far before. And I look at the timelines, I cannot say this is going to happen. What I can say, and I think the questioner understands this, is that this is one potential that could happen, but it is really down to humanity. Humanity as a mass will make a movement or a judgment or a decision which will take its own development down a particular road. And you know, at the moment, that road is positive, but the question is whether it will be hijacked by the same people that have always hijacked humanity. So the mantis were offering me a choice between being with a reptilian culture or with their culture. And had I taken the reptilian culture, I wouldn't be doing this show. I would probably be, you know, in an elite organization doing other things. But that was my own personal choice to do this. And so, you know, it's one that I'm pleased I made. But it's not easy. You know, you can understand information and you can see things that are coming, and then you have to work out how can you stop it. And I can't stop it on my own, but I can stop it working with people. And that's what Connecting Consciousness did to the Hadron Collider. We saw a huge disaster coming for humanity. We had to do something about it, and we did. And so, you know, it's not just, oh, I have the information. The question is, what can you do about it? And if you've created a movement of people who are good, honest, true, then you can overcome all evil. You know, it's like the sleep paralysis. You can actually move. You can do it. So it's a really good question. I haven't got the time to give it the real in-depth answer it needs. It was a 1971. It was a monumental time in my life where I had to make a soul choice based on all of the history that I knew and the current information I had up to the age of 11 and a half or whatever I was. And I pay the price for that ever since. So there we go.
Thank you. From Christian from Romania. Okay. Sit back, Simon. Grab your tea. Here's a whole page worth. I could try and pricey it. Okay. But here we go. Hello, Simon. Over the last couple of years, I've done my research and found many answers, but there is one question that I struggle to find the answer because there's not a lot of information about it out there. I'm talking about the moment when our physical bodies die and our soul must avoid all the traps, tricks, and illusions that are set up for our bodies to be captured. I feel like once our physical bodies die, that's when our real battle for freedom begins. We need to get away from the tunnel of light, and it's all tricks and illusions, and then we somehow need to get through the grid in order to make it back to either source or to our star group family. But this sounds way easier said than done. Could you please try to give us some sort of step-by-step instructions on how to resist the urge of entering the tunnel of light, how to make it past the grid, and what to do next if we make it on the other side of the grid? Right, then there's a whole, like, other paragraph about what somebody else has told them, but I think we should stop it there, because it's just, it's like, there's enough information for you, I think.
Okay. When the grid, which is beginning to collapse now, but when the grid was conceived and put up, it was composed of a frequency of energy which living entity souls are drawn to. Now, we don't have the time, but I do have to sort of try and cover it. Sex and pain, colour and love, when mixed as an energy cocktail, are hypnotic to the soul. And so that frequency is used to draw souls that have just left the physical body and are on their natural journey, either back to source or to the family they originally came from, to draw them and trap them. And, you know, it's very much like these blue light things that you find in shops that draw insects. Insects are just drawn to them and then they're zapped. So what do you do about it? Well, I can give you, we're in a 3D world, so I'm going to give you a 3D exercise to do. If you know your choice, whether you are going to want to return to source, or if you know your star family, whether you're going to return to the star family, every night before you go to bed, I mean literally you are in bed and you've done the reading and you're about to turn the light off, you say to yourself, I wish to return to source, or I wish to return to whichever group it is. And in the morning, you have to have some sort of prompt. The first thing you say every morning is, when you open your eyes, I wish to return to source, or I wish to go back to the Palladians, or whoever it is. The reason for that is that when your physical body dies, your eyes close, and you are not dead. And it's almost like a reawakening. And if you have, for years and years, every time you've physically woken up and got on sleep, said, I wish to return to source, the first thing that will come to your head when your physical body is dead is not, oh my goodness me, I'm dead. Oh, I'm not. It'll be, I wish to return to source, or I wish to do this. And then you're going to have all manner of nonsense thrown at you. Greatest respect to people who have strong religious beliefs. But if you are a very devout church person, you'll find Archangel Michael or Jesus Christ himself will come to you. Or if you were an aficionado of the Boy Scout movement, Lord Baden-Powell will come to you, your great-grandmother, your great-auntie. And they're not. They're holographic tricks. And their object is to draw you, as the questioner quite rightly says, to draw you back and recycle you so that you do not have any more memories. Let's think of a really good person. Let's think of Florence Nightingale. There's a woman who came from a very privileged background but decided that she wanted to go to the Crimean War and, you know, look after wounded soldiers. Well, okay, Florence Nightingale, let's say that when her physical body died, she came back to this planet, but she remembered everything. She would say, oh, I'm going to go back into nursing. And she would say, right, you don't do the bandages like this, you do the bandages like that. You don't put this on, you do that. If everybody remembered what they'd done in the previous life, within one generation, we would have advanced in a way that we'd never advanced before. Because all of the technology that we had invented, we would have remembered and added that. But it is on the spiritual development that humanity would really advance. And that is the reason for this insidious energy web, is to prevent humanity from advancing. Because if you are spiritual in one life, you die physically, you come back, you will remember that you were spiritual and why you became spiritual, and you will develop and grow in that. And so in one generation, you know, all of the values of humanity would change, and the people who are evil would lose control of it. So my answer to you is, every evening, every morning, say those phrases that I've given you, and you stand the best chance to go home. Okay.
I wish to return to source. Actually, I wish to reset this call because we're still getting some slight interference, Simon. So if it's okay, we can you hang up and I'll call you back right immediately, okay?
Yeah. No problem. I'm not surprised at all.
Yeah. Definitely. And we'll be back in one... two, three. There we go.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, you're good. You're good. So, back on.
Well, before we go back on, I mean, please. I know that we have technical issues which can just occur, but don't you think it's odd that today I spoke about how the elite make my life difficult, how I get this cut off and that cut off. And most of our radio shows, we don't have a problem. But I made an issue tonight of how my calls get interfered with. And so we get interfered with. And this is what I want the listeners to understand. You know, I some days of the week I see 7 clients a day. And sometimes between 1 and 3 of those clients cannot get through to me. In other words, they're trying to call me, I'm trying to call them, it doesn't even show up. That's how they affect me. So they really hammer my ability to connect with people. But I always try and rebook whenever I can, and I do lose people. So this does serve as an indication to what it's like when, and you know this, JP, when you are trying to bring a bit of truth out there, how the technology is the soft underbelly. It's what they go for. So it's a good indication that we're obviously talking about stuff that they don't want us to talk about.
Thank you. So, Simon, from Rose. Hi, Simon. You refer to the Earth as a dumping ground for those who refuse to evolve spiritually. Also, a large percentage of beings are evil there. So then, what are we doing? What are we doing here? Thank you, Rose. It's like, if 99% of the Earth population are evil and are here to be punished, what am I doing here? Exactly, that's the sort of question, isn't it?
Right. It's not 99%. I mean, you just said that as a joke.
I did.
The point is that it's a beautiful planet. And I don't know of another planet that has all the potential for you to be in a third dimensional physical form and to experience all of the things we experience, and, you know, to either decide to be joyful or to be miserable. So we're here for a whole series of reasons which go back to each individual's life course, both in previous lives on this planet and in previous lives in different physical forms or non-physical forms in other dimensions. And we did touch on this. You can either be here because you were moved to be here, because you wanted to come and make change. Very many in the last 20 years of what's called indigo children or starseed children are actually fourth dimensional. You know, people would say, oh, I would have thought they would have been Palladian or Arcturus. The vast majority are from the fourth dimension. They are from Sirius or Sirius. So that's an important point to make. But if you come from a group that was negative, you might have made a choice to be good, because you may have had many lifetimes where you've been an evil person, and then you thought, what am I doing? This is ridiculous. And then you incarnate in another physical body, and you then completely change, and you wish to pay back all that has happened before. And that's when the bad guys see you as a traitor. You may come here because you got trapped here. There are many, many people I've met who arrived here in a craft which then had a technical malfunction or was disabled or shot down. And then when they died, they were recycled back. Now, those people have the greatest difficulty, because when you come here and you decide to come here, you go through school and you are energetically accustomed to what you're going to have to do or face. If you come here to collect samples of plants and you're only going to be here for 20 minutes before you go, and you end up being trapped here, you have not been to school, so when you reincarnate, you are absolutely distraught. You cannot make connections with anybody. You do not understand the world. And these are the people that need the most support, because they come back time and time and time again, and they have never accepted the fact that they are on this planet. And they have terrible experiences in life. So there are a whole range of reasons why people would come here. And depending on that reason, very much a part of the character they are. And often when I consult with people, that is, for those people, that's an important aspect, a very important aspect, the one that has to be worked through. So it's a very good question. Thank you.
Excellent. I mean, that's, you know, this is the starseed question. I'm here. I don't want to be here anymore. when do I go home? Ah, good question. Got a few million years. Anyway, someone called themselves Seprax Nomis, which is your name backwards. hello, Simon. Can you please tell us what actually happened on 9/11? There are so many different conspiracy theories out there, but I'm not sure which one to believe. I find it very unlikely that it's just a simple terrorist attack. Are the Illuminati or the Cabal behind 9/11? And if so, what did they try to accomplish? Could the reptilians or some other malevolent ET race be behind this operation? Thank you, Simon.
Well, we'll probably be cut off if we talk about this.
Bring it on. Go on.
the reason it's even now, all these years afterwards, it's such a huge event was because it was a very physical, real happening that millions of people saw and affected millions of people. And names that are still in play today have blood on their hands. And so that's why it's such a sensitive subject. There are absolutely tons and tons of good video interviews on YouTube, pictures, amongst lots of nonsense, but there's a really, really good material there. I don't propose to go into huge detail, but I have been asked the question and I will answer it as best as I can, and that is as follows. For those who have not looked into it as deeply because they didn't have the time, I suggest you look into the stocks and shares bonds of the airline company whose airplanes crashed into the towers, and you will see that their stocks shares 12 hours or so before the crashes took a huge hit. That means somebody knew something was going to happen. Also have a look at the number of aircraft war games that were being played over North America. Huge amount, more than normal, and therefore the fighter cover bar one or two squadrons were completely removed from that area. You begin to understand that in order to effect 3D earthly type activity, that means 3D earthly type elites were pulling strings before it happened. So here we go. Some weeks before the towers came down, a group of people went in and, in my opinion, planted charges, starting in the basement and working their way up. The type of charges that we used were not just standard charges. They contained a type of a weapon not dissimilar to a neutron device. We have to understand that there was a lot of aluminium that was actually in there and steel. And the type of explosions that we used had to be capable of not just destroying concrete, which it could easily do, but to destroy the steel as well. And to produce a heat that was so strong that it would still be burning months afterwards underground. And what I'm going to say to people is not widely known on the internet. If you have a satellite that's a weaponized satellite, you can fire something, and we call it belt and braces job. In other words, if the first weapon doesn't do the job, you have the second weapon. The charges weren't just a standby charge, standby device. They were to run in conjunction with a beam weapon that was fired from space, that struck the tower, and at the same time, just fractionally afterwards, the charges were set off. It was the most awful, inhuman, evil action that could be done on a mass scale. You have to understand that those twin towers were insured singly for vast amounts of money in just a matter of weeks before the two towers were brought down. They were reinsured and insured if they both came down. Isn't that odd? So the person who owned it made a vast amount of money because both towers were deemed to come down. It did go to a big court review, but both towers were deemed to come down. But let's not forget the other building that came down, the building that contained all the CIA records, the building that had nothing to do with it. There were no pieces of aeroplane crashed on that, yet that all collapsed. It was a dreadful happening. Firstly, it was designed for financial gain. Secondly, it was about timelines, because those people who divined the future recognized that this had to happen for certain elite groups to be able to progress to the next stage. So we are talking black magic, but we're also talking just greed as well. So it wasn't much to do with the reptilians. It was a great deal to do with black magicians and humans here. I always make a big difference between Jewish people and those of a Zionist standpoint. And the Zionist group have, through Mossad, have a very strong connection to off-planet group, and do play the key roles in disasters on this planet. I won't say any more, but I hope that's a bit of an answer for you. And are we still on air, or have I been cut off?
Well, it's been just a little kind of little shadowy beings, like a dark underline, has been happening in an audio thing. But anyway, you're still coming through here. It's a bit busy sometimes, but we keep going. This is nothing to what we've experienced, because I used to have a really tiny bandwidth. Now I've got a much better bandwidth, and I get much fewer of these, and a lot of them are just caused by weather, or large amounts of data moving on the internet, like a CERN thing. Anyway, here's a question from Silver Lightning, again relatively in-depth. Thank you, Simon and JP, all for the work and effort that you each submitted. Your insights and intentions to elevate human consciousness is very much appreciated. Simon, I recently observed a strange occurrence while walking past two people who were about to engage in conversation, both of them known to me. One was facing me while the other had their back to me. I acknowledged one with their back to me and then proceeded to do the same to the other. As I attempted to acknowledge and begin to look at the person facing me, a dark, opaque square or short rectangular veil immediately formed in front of their face to block it from my view. The consistency and appearance of which it resembled that of the black shade typically described of shadow people or jinn. Very dark, if not opaque, in appearance. The occurrence lasted for a good 2 or 3 seconds as I struggled to refocus my eyes, naturally as a reflex action, to look past the veil, but could not see beyond it for the person's face. I was left in absolute bewilderment until coming to terms with what I had just witnessed was real and not a figment of my imagination. What could this possibly be? I would sincerely appreciate if you could shed any light on such an encounter. Thank you in advance.
Just look back through the question. Did they describe the shape of the shadow? Did they say it was oblong? Or
dark, opaque square or short rectangular. So, more or less squarish in aspect, but, maybe rectangular, is it?
Right, well, that is not a shadow being, if it's square and oblong. What they're actually seeing are two possibilities. One is a device energetically placed around the individual they're looking at to prevent them being psychic, to cut them down and prevent them. Or, alternatively, what we call as the letterbox opening. It would be interesting if this is what this person is referring to. Generally, when portals open, they're circular, but they don't always have to be, depending on the energy that's being used. Now, a letterbox portal is more of a, an artificial intelligence creation. It's more of a robotic creation. And it's designed to bring in what we'd call technology. I don't mean hardware, I'm talking about unseen technology, which is using the individual that it's portaled to either as a boosting station, or it's just designed and to allow an entity to exist in the energy field, the auric field almost, of that person, and then back to the fourth dimension. So it's fourth dimensional, it is negative, and the reason that you have seen it is because you are psychic. So you've seen that. So again, if this person wants to book a session with me, we can talk more about it. Fascinating. I don't believe that you had a piece of dust in your eye. What you've described, if it's the letterbox portal, is something that I'm familiar with. So a very good question, and well done for spotting it. Thank you.
AI. Reptilian encounters. Hi, JP and Simon. I've had a vision of being intimate with a reptilian, this is from a female, who, when I asked him his name, he said it was Ilak, or Ilak. I-L-A-K-H. However, it felt like he was someone I may have known before and was a renegade, meaning left the clan. Then, a few nights later, I had a dream of seeing what looked like a tall grey alien who then transformed into a reptilian and then into a human male. We engaged in another intimate experience. Would you have any thoughts of my experience? Thanks so much for all the kindness, effort and time you give all of us to answer our questions. Thank you, Jimmy. So, reptilian transforming... male Ilak. I mean, is that a name that's familiar?
Right. No, the name is not familiar, although the syntax is. Right. Well done for being incredibly brave and sharing that story. I know.
Yes, indeed. I didn't say her name because it's like this is a bit private. So.
Absolutely, but well done for doing that. One of the reasons that I came out and was absolutely open about what had happened with me was I wanted to give strength to the millions of people on the planet who also have had something like that, but are just too frightened, too embarrassed, too scared to come out in public. And not because I wanted them to come out in public, but because I wanted them to know that they weren't mad or insane or crazy. This is something that happened. So we need to address the question. The person really should get a consultation with me, because obviously I can talk to them much more openly on a one-to-one. But it is a very, very useful topic. So we'll just have a little go at this. The concern I have here is that is a jinn, which is taking the shape of these creatures. Now, generally speaking, if a reptilian wants to have sex, then it will arrive either in an energy form or its physical form. Now, what it might try and do is assume a face or a shape that is familiar to the person. If you are unlikely to have sex with a 9-foot-tall, scaly creature, you might if it looks like your husband. So that a reptilian can do. But if something changes from one shape to another shape to another shape, that is far more like a jinn which is doing that. Now, I remember having a chat with, who shall remain nameless, one very elite person who told me that she regularly has sex with a reptilian. So when someone tells me that, of course, what I do then is I ask a set series of questions to ascertain whether this is the case. You know, sometimes people, God knows why, they make these things up. I don't know why you would. And I said to this individual, how tall was this creature? It was about 7 or 8 feet. Okay, how do you, you're 5'5", how do you have sex with something that's this type? And she told me, and I knew that was correct. So, you know, it happens a great deal. What you have to understand is that this isn't just that your name has been pulled out of a lucky dip or a hat or an unlucky dip. There is a connection here that you have with that group. So part of consulting with me is to understand who you are, why this is happening, and if you want to stop it, then I can help you to stop that. Some people are quite happy to know how to carry on, but most people aren't. So thank you once again, and if you did want to consult with me, then it would be a privilege to help you. But thanks for that. That's a good question, JP.
Indeed, and very brave. Thank you very much. From Rome in Russia. Hello, Simon. Dear JP, I'm deeply indebted to you both for this wonderful enlightening show. My question, Simon, what can you say about the Keshe Foundation? Is their information reliable? This is the Keshe free technology thing. Number two, about veganism, is eating fish, eggs, and milk more beneficial? So, the questions about the Keshe Foundation or about veganism. Take your pick.
Right, well, let's do both quickly. The information I'm getting at the moment now is that some of the Keshe technology is working. Initially, a number of people had undertaken tests of this equipment, and it was only showing, in terms of energy saving, a 10% energy saving. That's actually showing up as greater. For me, what's far more important is the medical, the ability to destroy cancer cells, to reprogram or rewrite negative disease. And I believe that to be true and accurate. So I'm broadly in support of the material that I've seen. So that I think is a positive thing. So I'm much more supportive of the medical side of it than I am in the energy saving side of it. Veganism, I've consistently said that until humanity begins to seriously stop eating meat, we will find it very difficult to energetically change our way of life on this planet. Every person must make his or her choice as to what they consume. It's about free will. I now jokingly talk about the murder aisles in the local supermarket. It's a multi-million pound industry, and taking an animal, sticking a tag on it, and then cutting its throat. And then, you know, people come and buy that meat. So that's a choice that we all have to make. But it's one that I think if people really saw the truth of the matter and the system really provided an alternative to eating meat, then I think more people would give it up. So, yeah, I hope that's an answer for you. I'm beginning to lose you again.
Yep. We seem to be receiving some interference right now. Yes, there goes Simon. And we'll be back in, I'm sure we've been a few. Well, indeed, meat. There's a break. I'll just explain. I had a conversation with one of my chickens last week. I'm the chicken whisperer of Murray here. And it's really funny when you start tuning into creatures and things like that. So I'm just calling back Simon back. Still haven't got there. I seem to be still offline, so there we go. So nobody can hear me anyway. There, how very interesting. How very interesting. Alright, well, I think I'm back on the air. It seems to be changing colour there, here and there. Hello, hello. Good afternoon. This is World Spirit Radio, and we lost our guest again. Where are we? We're waiting here. So while I hope you're still getting a major bit of blocking here. There we go. Simon, we back?
Yeah, I mean, you know, go ahead. It's just
interesting.
It's classic. I mean, I do my radio show with you weekly, and we don't really get too much trouble, but I go on and say how the elite can make my life difficult. And because I said it interferes with my work, and because it affects me, they've gone and done it, and they've made it again and again. And I shouldn't have done it. I've made a mistake. I have learned from that mistake. Because I gave them, not energy, but because I said to them it was having an effect, they've then gone and thrown it more.
Yeah.
So, if nothing else, it's a fantastic sign to people who listen to this show that there is a force out there which is bad, and will seek to curtail anybody, whoever they are, in trying to bring the truth out. So we've got a few minutes left. Let's see if we can keep going.
We have indeed. So let's get things moving again. And go on to the slightly less... All right, incarnations, right? So we should be safe on incarnations, unless we're being blocked by the Chinese who have now made it illegal for llamas to incarnate. That just killed me. That just totally killed me. Anyway, hi, Simon. My question is, how many starseeds are on this planet, and how many Earth humans in percentage? Why would a soul choose the Earth as a planet for a first physical existence? Thanks a lot, and greetings from Germany.
Right. The term starseed, I don't recognize. Right. That everybody on this planet who is a good person has a soul in their body. And they either you know, a Earth human, or a human, or something else. The real battle is on the choice that individual makes. If their person's going to come here, do a job, have a family, nothing out of this world, but gets by, and that's fine, and we mustn't criticize that. But if someone comes along and does that, and then suddenly says, right, I've seen the truth, and they activate, they become active, and they start to study and learn, and then they start speaking out, then they are fulfilling their role, shall we say. But we can't... I get a bit distressed when I see on websites, they're sort of soaking up star children or indigo children, because they are making out these children to be something very special. Well, they are, in the sense that this generation that's coming through, the veil is much more thinner. But that's to denigrate the fact that the people who came before them don't get a look in. But the truth is, the people who came before these so-called starseeds or indigo kids, they had to make the ground safe for these people to arrive. And you can't really give one group credit over another. What we can say is that there are many, many different souls on this planet for a whole range of reasons, and no one soul is better than another, but souls make a choice to do good for other people or just do good for themselves. So it's the old service to others or service to self. That's how we need to judge people. As one person was reported as saying to me, that he liked making money because he could give it away. So I would say that there are many different types of souls on this planet, and I probably haven't met half of the different ranges there are. So that's my answer.
So, took a headlong dive, I was just pouring my tea. So, Ingeborg Charlotte, that's lovely. Dear Simon, how can I expedite the reconnection of my 12-strand DNA? And how will I know whether I am thriving? Love, Ingeborg Charlotte.
Right. Did they say which country they're from?
Their address is from DE, from their German, yeah.
Right. There was a reason why I was asking that. I don't know the person. First of all, it depends what your star or your soul actually is. And then it depends what your soul has really decided it's going to be while it's on this planet. That dictates the speed and efficiency that you can bring in your strands of DNA to, bring yourself to be whole again. So I can't give you a method, because unfortunately I don't know your starseed background, shall we say. If you had a photograph of yourself, then I could do that, because I work visually. There are many, many different tips that I can give people, unless they are seventh sixth or seventh dimension or higher, then their answers are all within themselves, and I would expect them to unlock them, and I can just point that out. But when you are lower down the chain, and don't mean that from a hierarchical negative point of view, but when you are sort of fifth and fourth, third dimension, there are props that we can use. There are physical additions that will help that person to connect and bring that in. You have to bring in the 12, and then you have to connect the 12. Just having the 12 strands isn't enough, because they are DNA coded to protect you from being robbed or hacked. And when the 12 strands are in, then they will reconnect, and that's when people will become telepathic, telekinetic. Who would be a stocks and bond holder in the cell phone company, the mobile phone company, if everyone was telepathic? No wonder the system doesn't want humans to be telepathic. It would be the death of the cell phone structure. So I can't give any more detail without seeing this person. But this is a good question, thank you.
Okay, rumours from Sue of a worldwide currency change. If this happens, will the US go onto the gold or silver standard? How can we prepare for this? Is there a secret prosperity program to redistribute wealth to ordinary citizens? When might this happen? Anytime soon. Trust me. Thanks for your great work and helpful insights. Thank you, Sue.
Two questions. The person there shows their knowledge. The second part of that question is hidden, but I understand it. Let's deal with the first part, which is not hidden. America is preparing to move to a silver-backed currency, just as it did in the days of the good old Wild West with the silver dollar. The Chinese and the Indians are, through the yuan, are now ready to move to a gold-backed standard. The Chinese actually own jolly nearly one-third of the world's total gold reserve, so they can back their currency or part of currency without that. The problem is for those countries that have no precious metals. Now, the Rothschilds have valued every country, and every country has a worth, and it is valuable to look back at the end of the First World War, which Germany lost. And Germany went into the most horrendous hyperinflation. The only way that they could get out of that hyperinflation was with the Rothschilds valued every tractor, every house, every bus, every office block, every field, and said that is the total value of that country. And so Germany, for about a year and a half, ran a currency which was called a Rentenmark. And that was money backed not against gold or silver, but against the intrinsic value of the country. Then, with American investment, they then moved off that onto a form of a normal standard. So, the problem for any country that doesn't have precious metals is that the value of its currency can only be the value of its intrinsic worth, which means a massive devaluation for most Western countries. Now, what can you do about it? Well, my advice is you start taking money out of the bank and keep it at home. Because if there is a crash, there'll be pretty short notice, and the cash machines, the banks will be closed, you will not be able to draw vast amounts of money out. And so if you want to get gas for your car, or you want to go to the supermarket, you will need money. And the other alternative is to buy silver. Silver is a very good deal at the moment. If I'm correct, and the American government is preparing a silver dollar as a standby, silver as a precious metal will spike. In fact, I was told a couple of weeks back that silver was actually increasing in value dramatically, and that is because it is being bought up in vast amounts. So silver is a good investment. It can't go for the gold or platinum. I would say platinum and silver are very good. So you need to have some food, some water, a method to cook it. If you have a dog or a cat, please put some cat food or dog food aside, because if there are problems, the supermarkets will not be stores, you know, holding pet food. That'll be the last thing on their mind. So you need food and water, and a method to cook it on. So that is the situation we're looking at. Now, it nearly happened last fall, September, October, November, and we are looking potentially at that happening again this year. From a British point of view, we have a situation, I believe, this winter coming, 6 months to go, but nevertheless, where the output of the power stations will be 3% below peak demand. In other words, if we get a bad winter in Great Britain, there will be power cuts because the electricity will not be generated early enough. And the following year, Great Britain will be 6% below the capability that it's required. In other words, somebody somewhere is ensuring that in Great Britain there will not be the power to maintain the computers, to maintain the lights. And that has a huge effect, because a supermarket orders its food at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock at night for a following morning delivery. Well, if the internet goes down, nobody's going to sit there on the end of the phone line giving 3,000 products. There just will not be any deliveries. So we have moved from a system where we did everything by paper to everything electronic. If you take that system down, you will collapse a Western economy. So I've always said to people, you need to be strong and resourceful, because one day there will be no Facebook, there'll be no Skype, there'll be no landline phone, there'll be no cell phone. All there will be your major news station broadcasting on the radio, telling you what the authorities want you to be told. So we do face a very, very tricky time ahead, and I would like people to make some provision. So I can't say any more than that. So
Simon, that's a good question. In conclusion on this program, and I just want to kind of go with you on this, to the end, as you were saying, there are likely to be power cuts. Your friend Wynne and I have been have started a series of radio shows on a Thursday evening for the Britons, and it's all about basically how to move off the grid in the really practical way, because Wynne is the off the grid expert. As far as I can see, he knows everything down to the molecules, even beyond the molecules. You know, kudos to him. So that's what we're doing on a Thursday. We're actually talking about, and we'll be doing YouTube and things like that, how to go off the grid, how to start small, how to check it out, see, you know, make small investments, and go for the most effective use of money that you might invest into your, essentially what it is a UPS for your house. You know, everybody's familiar with a UPS for their computer. Well, you just scale up, and that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, I'm very happy to support that. What many people in Great Britain don't realise is that in some American states it is illegal to go off grid. Some American states have made it an imprisonable offence to go off grid, but luckily that hasn't happened in Britain. JP, before we shoot off,
yes,
we've got another show tonight. Is that still on?
Absolutely. We're going to have a round table, another ultra-galactic round table. I just call it that because nothing else is. And we'll be with Wynne Keach and Jim Nichols and Tolek. Sadly, Alex has got some other appointments, so he can't make it tonight. But we're bound to have a rip-roaring intergalactic conversation. What do you think, Simon?
Is that going to be live, or is it just going to go onto YouTube?
It's going to be live. We might be able to put it onto YouTube as well. I'll be able to put it on later on to YouTube.
So people can listen to it live.
Live, yeah. 11 p.m. UK time, 3 p.m. PST, 6 p.m. Eastern, and sometime in the morning in Australia. But I don't really know. Maybe somebody can help me.
Well, I'd better get some sleep then if I'm back on in 2 hours.
Nice nap. You know getting on in Britain when you look forward to a nice nap. Simon Parks, it's been lovely. Thank you very much, and I'll see you in a short while.
Yes, God bless. Bye-bye.